He traveled throughout America with a Radha Damodar bus. There, does anyone not know this traveling Sankirtan party? It's that it was a bus. They went to distribute books all over America with several devotees, and they had big buses, which they use for public transport usually, I think. And they lived in them, and they had deities in them. They just traveled around America. There are quite some interesting stories from those times. But there's also a book about that, so if you wanted to know more, you could ask. In 1981, he assisted ISKCON's mission in Hong Kong, and then later on in 84 in the Philippines. He went on to India after that and preached even at universities in Gujarat. And then he went to England from 87 to 97. He held classes and tutorials on the Bhagavad Gita and weekly Bhakti Shastri seminars at Bhaktivedanta Manor and London Temple. From what I've heard from other devotees is that he was quite famous in his Bhakti Shastri teaching, and even, is it true, he pioneered it in some way, or?
Yes, he was one of the first people who were teaching this.
Then, because it was a success, he also started teaching them in other countries, Ireland, Philippines, France, India, Latvia. I have no clue where that is. Lithuania, Croatia, Slovenia, and Russia. And then he moved to Russia in 97 and was teaching there and mainly traveled between Russia and India and then Eastern Europe. He was also the initiator and chairman of the Shastric Advisory Council. That's our scriptures, we call the Shastras. And it formed an advisory council because there can be many interpretations and you know, to know what it exactly means in which context and those kind of things. It is useful to have a council who can guide us on that. So he initiated that. He also narrated an audio production, which is quite famous, the Gitamrita. And we would like to let you listen to it, to a small part of it. First from the... Is it ready for the 18th chapter or introduction? So... Yes, thank you. First we will hear the introduction to the Gitamrita, and that's actually... explains it quite a lot already, but the Gitamrita is the nectar of the Gita. That's literally, and the Gita is the song of Lord Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita. So this is the nectar of the Bhagavad Gita. And Maharaj is narrating it himself, so we will just let him speak then.
You are about to hear the most important conversation that has ever taken place. It is a timeless conversation between the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and his devotee, Arjuna. Arjuna is a constant companion of Krishna, who perpetually travels with the Lord throughout the material world, playing a key role in an endless drama. That drama is for our sake, yours and mine. In it, Arjuna plays a warrior whose duty is to fight a battle to establish righteousness in the world. Just before the battle begins, Arjuna surveys the opposing troops, and seeing many of his own relatives and friends within their ranks, he becomes bewildered. Krishna, who is playing the role of Arjuna's chariot driver, convinces him to do his duty by revealing to him all the truths of the universe. Truths about the soul, karma, rebirth, liberation, and devotion. Since we're all faced with life's dilemmas and have our own battle to fight, Krishna's words are pertinent to us all. This drama is performed again and again, not only on this earth, but on other planets in other universes as well. In each performance, there are slight variations in the dialogue, but the theme remains unchanged. Great self-realized souls can hear these conversations by their mystic power, and some have written them down for our benefit. Listen now as the troops prepare for battle on the plains of Kurukshetra.
This is a part from the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the last part where Krishna is giving the most confidential knowledge to Arjuna, and Maharaj speaks very nicely the whole dialogue.
Lord Krishna observed Arjuna's silence as he was deliberating on the meaning of his instructions. Krishna thus became compassionate and his heart melted. He pointed to his dear friend Arjuna and spoke. Arjuna, because you are my very dear friend, I will now speak the essence of all I have spoken in 8 verses. This is my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. This is what I feel is most beneficial for you. Therefore, you should act upon it. First, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. In this way, give your senses to me. And since the mind is the king of the senses, if you think of me, the rest will follow. Perform kirtan. Hear about me. Take darshan of my deity. Offer chandan, umbrella, and chamara. Engage all your senses in rendering service to me. Offer incense, flowers, ghee lamp, and bhog. Become my pujari. Or if you can do nothing else, then offer your obeisances to me. And if devotion is there in any activity, it will be pleasing. Out of these 4, do all of them, or at least one of them, and you will attain me. If you offer these to me, then what will I give to you? I'll give my very self to you. To you, not to anyone else. I promise you, so please, do not have any doubts. But people from Mathura are always promising this and that in every sentence they speak, Krishna. I cannot really believe you because you are from Mathura. I'm raising my hand and taking an oath, Arjuna. I declare that you are dear to me. Even though people from Mathura tell lies and cheat, they never cheat those they love. You are not only dear to me, but most dear, so have no doubt. One who loves me wins my reciprocation in the same manner. I will not be able to tolerate separation from you. I have to bring you back to me. So believe my words that you'll definitely come to me. You have said so many things, Krishna. Think of me, be my devotee, worship me. Please make it simple and say one thing. O Partha, just abandon all varieties of religion and simply surrender unto me. With this one thing, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Give up all varieties of religion? How is that, Krishna? Yes, Arjuna. Give up all religious obligations like varna and ashram and take full shelter of me alone. I know that you are not ready to take sannyas, so keep your duty and surrender the fruits. One should engage in one's duties until one becomes very attached to hearing my pastimes. Knowing the strengths and so-called defects of all my instructions and seeing them in perspective, one can act properly. Previously, I said that you are not qualified to become my unalloyed devotee, and I instructed you in nishkam karma, like yad karoshi yad ashnashi. That was karma measure bhakti. But now my heart is overflowing with mercy. Now out of compassion, I've blessed you. I've made you qualified for unalloyed devotional service. This can be obtained only by the mercy of my pure devotee. So I've broken this rule and I'm granting this to you directly myself. Don't think that you'll incur sins by not performing your daily and occasional duties. The Vedas have said to do these, but I spoke that in the Vedas, and now I'm asking you to renounce them. So if you perform your conventional duties now and disrespect my words, that will be sinful. Krishna, if I surrender to you, ignoring established morality and all commitments, then should I not worry? You are the Lord, and if your desire is to engage me in irreligious activity, what will be my fate? Arjuna, I will deliver you from all sinful reactions in the past, present, and future. I have all power and am not incapable of doing it. It is my responsibility to deliver you from the sin of neglecting your prescribed duties. Do not minimize my power. I am making you the object of instruction to humanity by speaking to you. Do not worry about your destination. The entire universe can give up all their activities and engage happily in my devotional service. The responsibility for their sins is mine. The responsibility for bringing them to me is also mine, as is the responsibility to maintain their bodies, as I've said before. And again I say, Arjuna, you shouldn't lament that, oh, the Lord has taken this responsibility and it is a burden for him. No, it is not a burden for me, for I am Satya Sankalpa. My desire is truth. Oh Krishna, should I keep this knowledge hidden or should I tell others?
So Maharaj left his body on the 4th of November, which was yesterday, at around 20 past 10 in Moscow in a hospital. They had brought him earlier to one of the best hospitals in Moscow. Because on October 15th, he had some internal bleeding, and therefore they brought him to the hospital. And a few days later, on the 19th, he went into a coma. They were also concluding that his condition was due to his ongoing deterioration of his health due to hepatitis C. When I was going through his website, I found some of his poems, and one of them is about the disease, and we would like to read that to you. Okay.
So you have it on your sheets. It's called Interferon Blues. I sleep in the daytime because I can't sleep at night. My friends ask, how are you? And I still say, I'm all right. Because I got PEG interferon alpha blues. And I feel so bad that I just don't know what to do. I work about 3 hours and then I got to rest. Before I took this treatment, they called me the best. Because I got PEG interferon alpha blues. And I feel so bad that I just don't know what to do. My appetite has dwindled. I've lost about 30 pounds. If I don't get something to eat, I'll be crawling on the ground. Because I got PEG interferon alpha blues. And I feel so bad that I just don't know what to do. My mouth is always dry, with a very bitter taste. I'm always drinking water, but it's a losing race. Because I got PET interferon alpha blues, and I feel so bad that I just don't know what to do.
Although it helps, but in the same time it makes you really sick. That's why he's speaking like this. It's really heavy medicine. Srila Prabhupada wants this song to be sung one on the disappearance day of great Vaishnava. I just said that Srila Prabhupada wants this song to be sung on the disappearance day of great Vaishnava. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with unlimited compassion and mercy, where are such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta, and where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head upon a stone and will enter into fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the ocean of all wonderful quality? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of this devotee, in whose association he performed his pastime, Narottam Das simply weeps.
Yehanilo Primadana Karuna Pacho Yehanilo Primadana Karuna Pacho Hello Prabhu. Hello, Prabhu, Kota Gela Achaya Thakur. Hello. prabhu ko ta gela achayata ko Amora Svarupa Kahasanata Kahamora Svarupa Kahasanata Kadasha Raghunatha Patita Pava Kadasha Raghunatha Patita Pava Kahamura Bata Yuga Kakavira Kamura Svarupa Kakavira Pekakale Kotagela Gorana Tara Pekakale Kotagela Gorana Tara Pashane Kutiba mata nale pashibo Pashane kutiba mata Hanale Pashiva Koranga Gunerani Deva Gele Pavo. Koranga gorena le de kota gele pavo. Shishaba Shangera Shange Kekolo Bila Shishaba Shangera Shange Ke kalo bila Che shangana pe akande narotama da Shangana Pea Kande Narutamada Jayo Vaishnav Thakur 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 Jayo Vaishnav
several times, and it's a very practical application of our process and the obstacles we all in general meet, and he gives very we have an expression in Dutch, down to earth. I'm not sure if that relates in English, but down to earth advice on how to deal with those obstacles. I was thinking of reading some parts of it, but time is progressing, so if you want, it's probably available in the library and definitely also for sale. We will conclude then with last poem, which is on the two sheets that you got. We will skip the middle one. You can read it in your own time.
Now this song is called Little Boy Blue. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. Sheep are in the meadow and cows in the corn. Little boy blue loves pudding and pie. He kissed the girls and made them cry. Little boy blue plays his flute by the river. If you hear that sound, it'll make your heart quiver. Little boy blue steals the neighbor's butter. They come to his house, complain to his mother. One day he broke the yogurt pot. He tried to hide, but just could not. Mother tied him with exasperation. He pulled down the trees, gave him liberation. The king of heaven caused a terrible storm. He lifted the hill, saved his friends from harm. At the river he stole the gopis' clothes. They'd never had such terrible vows. Coming out of the river, they stood in rows. How embarrassed they were, only heaven knows. Naked gopis wanted to give up their lives. Then he told them, "You're all my wives. If you find nothing but the helter-skelter, little boy blue can give you shelter. Oh, little boy blue, I love you so. I want to hug you and never let you go. Little boy blue, come blow your flute. I love you 'cause you're so cute."
Thank you. I would like to ask Rasamandala Prabhu now if you want to share anything.
I was just going to say the other poem is really nice as well. the one called What a Big Mistake. It's a wonderful poem. I guess we'll have to read it in our own time. I first met Purnachandra Prabhu, as he was known then, sometime after Srila Prabhupada's departure. He was in a position that was, for us, rather enigmatic, for him, more troublesome, of having received first initiation from Srila Prabhupada, and I think second from Tamil Krishna Goswami. Am I right? It was from someone else, I know, but regrettably, he had to fight to be recognized as a fully-fledged Srila Prabhupada disciple, rather than being deemed second-class or somehow inferior. More on this later, because it seemed to have a significant impact on him. His life is exemplary, how it demonstrated that for all of us, it is a dynamic journey, and one in which we have to reflect on personal experience as well as on Shastra. Of course, in relation to the above, it is not so much the exact identity of our spiritual master that matters, though etiquette is important, but our Krishna consciousness. And on that, I'll say a few words. I first had opportunity to serve with Purnachandra Prabhu on the first VTE, that's Vaishnava Training and Education, course material. He was still married. He and his wife were both good devotees, but regrettably didn't get on so well, as sometimes happens, despite their determined efforts. Shortly afterwards, he helped launch the very first VTE teacher training course, the TTC1 as it's now called. That was in April 1995, right here in the castle. It was actually in the room above the, opposite the GBC room. It was then a grueling 7.5 days. Later, I stayed with Purnachandra Prabhu, as he was then called, in Vrindavan. In the morning, he would always light some candles, turn out the lights, if the electricity was working, and chant japa very peacefully sitting down, very peacefully, with concentration. I was always amazed, if not just a little bit envious. What impressed me were two qualities. Ones we rarely see coexisting. First, he was a determined sadhaka. He had a spontaneous taste for japa, and he loved singing bhajans. He was very soft-hearted. Two, simultaneously, he was discerning and reflective. He was actually aware of some of the personal and institutional issues in his own life and in ISKCON. At the same time, he recognized the need not to be critical in the negative, judgmental way, but to recognize issues, acknowledge them, and address them positively. A rare combination of strictness and liberality. And he really understood some of the real issues and hurdles facing all of us in our spiritual life. When I heard recently of his sickness, I pulled off my shelf his book called Unspoken Obstacles on the Path of Bhakti. I'd recommend it to everyone. It's full of down-to-earth, yet scripturally supported insight. It shows us a devotee able to retain his individuality and yet demonstrate loyalty to a tradition, to be a unique, self-determined individual and yet to be guided by scriptural authority, and to be in reflective dialogue with Shastra. In this sense, he resembles a Vaishnav C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is a famous Christian writer who lived in Oxford, actually. His work is very poignant on spirituality and relevant to us. So, and reading that book again, I realized how deep it was and what insight Purnachandra Goswami had. I'd like to read you a passage, have I got time, or two from this book, starting on page 169, about, I can read it.
In the meantime, the curtains will probably open.
Are we okay to carry on? Okay, thank you. Having resided in many countries, I noticed the qualities of many cultures. In the Philippines, people are not as mental as Westerners, but rather fun-loving and simple. Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath. In Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Thailand, sarcasm is conspicuous by its absence, and dutiful work is common. In Russia, people are extremely generous and accommodating, but often sentimental. They find it difficult to refuse someone upon being asked something, whereas Americans can easily say no without feeling guilty. In England, people are polite and helpful, but often distant. Generalizations and stereotypes grow from national traits. They are not baseless, yet one cannot apply them absolutely to all individuals in a given nation. This is called bigotry or racism. Nevertheless, a devotee will always find some cultural residue dwelling within himself and must deal with it. Therefore, for devotees to live in a foreign country for a few years can be beneficial. This is not to say that our own culture has nothing valuable to offer, but one may remain unaware of one's negative traits and gain positive traits from other cultures if one does not experience alternative cultures. One can adopt desirable traits by close observation and association. This adopting of good qualities should always be done anyway, regardless of the circumstances or culture. In other words, we should always be searching for good qualities to imbibe from those we meet, whether from other countries or our own. The Lord often arranges for his devotees to meet others who have qualities that are beneficial for one to advance on the path of bhakti. Such qualities are generally of the mode of goodness, and they can also be transcendental. I used to joke with Purnachandra Maharaj, as he later became known, how he was a cultured American, which to the British is a bit of an oxymoron. And Purnachandra had one trait so essential to spiritual life, and that was a sense of humor. He did have that somewhat slightly dry, those are known, sense of humor, in a way in which he could laugh at himself, in a kind of inclusive way, as one of us all here in the material world, kind of included himself as one of us conditioned souls. And it was very endearing, that sense of humor. So Purnachandra, with his higher vantage point, was certainly like the full moon, able to illuminate our darkened lives with the lamp of knowledge. This evening I pray that we can remember his example and try to develop the same qualities. And to reinforce this point and return to the opening theme of who is our guru, I'd like to read from his book. Can I just read a little longer? Page 173. Many devotees that feel, he's talking about how sometimes in ISKCON when we meet each other, we begin by asking, who's your guru? And he doesn't always admire that quality. Many devotees feel that knowing another's guru is essential and that this information alone sizes up an individual, whether he has character, integrity, and intelligence. No doubt it does have some bearing, but there's no reason to place so much emphasis on it. Isn't it wiser to get to know a person first? Can't we be more personal and judge an individual on his or her own merit? The person's life will naturally unfold as our relationship deepens. To know the person who's standing before us is better than immediately judging someone on one piece of information. We can deal with him or her, learn about him or her, and give him space to keep something he treasures. Srila Sanatana Goswami quotes from the Samahana Tantra to establish this point. Gopayed devatam ishtan, gopayed guru atmanaha, gopayed cha niyam mantram, gopayan nijamalikam. One should hide one's ishtadeva, one should hide one's guru, one should hide one's mantra, and one should hide one's japamala. Hari Bhakti Balas 2147. The Supreme Lord confirms this truth in his words to Aditi, Naitat parasma akiyang pristyapi katanjana sarvan sampadite devi devaguyam susafritam. O lady, even if someone inquires, you should not disclose this fact to anyone. That which is very confidential is successful if kept secret. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17, Verse 20. Treasures are naturally kept in a concealed place. Similarly, a devotee wisely keeps his relationship with his guru and his Ishtadeva deep in his heart. They're not for everyone's view and comment. The secrecy protects the value of the relationship, just as keeping spices in a container maintains the flavor of the spice. If the lid of the container is not shut tight, the value of the spice is quickly lost. Of course, one should not hide one's guru due to shame. Rather, one should feel fortunate to have a caring and enlightened preceptor. And one should feel oneself fallen and unqualified to be his disciple and represent him. One should not proudly advertise oneself as the disciple of someone, feeling one's increased status due to the relationship. That is like using the guru as a social springboard for one's false prestige. Nor should one cheaply brag about his guru. Rather, let our guru be truly glorified by our exhibiting exemplary behavior and Vaishnava qualities, especially humility. It's a really good book. Very much recommend it. Our real glorification of Punachandra Maharaj will not be these few words, but our earnestly striving to follow his example and to diligently develop all the admirable qualities of a Vaishnav or Vaishnavi. Punachandra Maharaj, thank you for your friendship and your example. Punachandra Maharaj, ki jai.
I don't know him so much, but he came a few years ago here. And this morning I had the chance to sing the Mongol Arti, and I spontaneously started to sing the Prabhupada tune. And I was wondering after why I did that, because it's rare actually we do that, this tune. And I remember the only encounter I have with Maharaj. It was a long time ago. I was also going to sing the mantra, the Mongolati, and he came very softly to me and he speak to my in my ear just before I start. Please, can you sing the Prabhupada tune?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha, Gopinath Radha, Gopinath Radha, Gopinath Radha, Gopinath Radha. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur, Jaya Vaishnav Thakur.